More Ebeling and You on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS. The club
with his pants falling down. Welcome back. Jack Ebeling here, Ebeling and You, 1320 WILS. I thank Nicole Sclafani for being with us and sticking around. Hello, Nicole.
Hey, it's okay. I'm at Reno's outside on the patio, so I could stay here all day, Jack.
Well, that's a pretty good place to be. You know, it's funny, when they did that renovation over at Reno's, I said, you know, I don't know about this. And as usual, I was wrong.
Uh-huh.
And Jesse's done an amazing job over there at Reno's, and it's become one of the great places to be.
It is, exactly. I had a meeting here, actually, to talk about what we're talking about right now. I'm meeting with probably about... maybe about a dozen or so young professionals, business owners, and stuff in town to tell them right now about Capital City Film Festival. So I'm just dropping the press release tomorrow, so we're just announcing it. So it's a film festival that's going to take place in the heart of Lansing at several venues in April, actually, April 14th to the 16th.
Okay. Now, this is something that was inspired from what?
It was inspired actually through a conversation that Dom Cochran and I had over at the Office of Community Media and actually several other film professionals and creatives that were in town. I think we saw the demand, especially after the film incentives, how almost every month there's like a film set. You know, Michigan is home to a film set, especially in the summertime. And it was needed, we thought, especially in the heart of the city where there's no theater downtown. There's nothing to celebrate film. You have celebrations of music and arts, which are all very great, but nothing to celebrate film. It also not only is great art, but also adds to the state's economy. So
I got an idea for you here. You know, we've talked so much about downtown Lansing, the refurbishment, all the energy that is back there, maybe more than I ever remember. But yeah, the fact that there is no theater, there was a point where that was indeed a magnet for people to come to downtown Lansing. And I don't expect there to be a multiplex there. But
Right. Would
it be too much to try to renovate something and make a theater that might show some kind of neat off-the-wall films or something a little bit different, considering the number of people that are going to be living downtown?
Oh, I think so. In almost every community that I've lived in, no matter how small the community was, that had a little village movie theater. You know, Williamston, I love that little movie theater as well. And they show commercial features. But even just to have a small little indie, you know, movie theater would be just great. And I think, unfortunately, right now, maybe there's not the market for it, or maybe it's just not the place for it to be refurbished. But at least right now, we can infuse downtown Lansing with some film. So we're actually talking about four different locations we're going to kind of take over. And if they don't already have a projection system in there, put a big screen in there, get people downtown. We know it's April. We know it's probably just about to warm up. And the other great thing about it, too, is we're going to celebrate Michigan Film and students. Actually, we're in a partnership with Digital 10 and giving away over $7,000 in scholarships and money to students for their short films if they win the competitions. So we really want to encourage everybody to go on our website, capitalcityfilmfest.com, and make your submissions. There's four different categories you can submit to, and also you can sign up for newsletters or to become a volunteer. We need as many people as we can get. So,
just the way it sounds, very simple. CapitalCityFilmFest.com, right?
Yep. We're a nonprofit group really just looking to raise awareness of Michigan films and to celebrate Michigan filmmakers.
All right, great, Nicole. Thanks so much for sticking around. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks, Jack.
All right, Nicole might be with us live from Silver Bells. I want to bring in my usual guest this time and also on Mondays for Get a Job. And that was his theme music, actually, that was borrowed there at the start of this segment. Hello, Ken Glickman. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. How are you, Jack?
Nice of you to share that with Nicole.
I'd share anything with Nicole.
Well, you had a chance to see Mary Poppins last week, correct?
Yes, I did.
Now, there's no truth to the rumor that you reached up and tried to touch her at some point in the show, right?
Well, she flew right over me, and I tell you, you know, it's one of those things, Jack, where everybody knew she was going to take to the air at one time or another, but it was exciting.
Yeah.
And to see the expressions on the kids' faces as she went, you know, I hope I'm not going to spoil it for people, but she goes up to the balcony.
Yeah.
And it costs Wharton Center $30,000 to set up that equipment.
Wow. Well, it was part of the memorable evening, and
it was magical, wasn't it?
I must tell you that I had low expectations for this show, and a very positive response.
Well, you know, Disney just always does a job, and one thing that just knocked it out of the park for me was the production itself.
Yeah,
I mean, it just smelled of professionalism, of money spent, of I mean, the sets were fabulous, and the Banks house starts out with just the front of the house, and it opens up like one of those greeting cards where it just opens up in front of you. I don't know if there's got to be a name for that.
Yeah.
And then the sets just float in and out without any time wasted at all. Am I correct?
Yes, absolutely. I thought the staging was ingenious. And I'm not just talking about at the end. I'm talking about throughout, where you see one thing, and the next thing you know, in a matter of seconds, you're looking at something totally different.
Yeah, yeah. And think how much work goes into that and how the timing has to be perfect. And they go to houses all over the country. As a matter of fact, at the end of this run, not Lansing, but the year, they're going to Europe.
Okay.
And so they're going to do the same thing with houses all over Europe. So it's a big show. It's a very, very big show.
Some new music, of course, all the familiar music, but some new tunes and a couple new characters. The evil nanny was a little bit different than I was used to.
Yeah, there was a bad nanny. There was a bad nanny. Actually, she was terrific in the role, I thought.
She was a good bad nanny.
She was a good bad nanny. And there's a sort of a Caribbean type of woman. I don't know if they came from the original book or not. Besides that, you know, and my favorite scene wasn't there from the movie, which is I love to laugh with Bert. What's his name? Ed Wynn.
Ed Wynn
floating to the top of the room. That was not there.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't exactly the movie.
Right, right. And
but boy.
It isn't always the same. Some people think, well, it's going to be a direct translation from a film to the stage. That doesn't happen. But I thought in many ways it was superior.
Well, it's, you know, when you see something live, to me, it's truly magic anyway.
Yeah.
I always used to say to my kids when we used to go to theater together, and the lights went down, I used to whisper in their ear, the magic begins. And that's how I feel about theater. And but with Mary Poppins, it really was magic in many ways. And one of the magical things were the performers.
Right.
They were all superb.
Now, they had two. Yes, I would. They had two boys who alternate in the role of the youngest child.
No, there was the both kids, the girl and the boy. They have two sets of each.
Okay. Okay.
And they have school for them, and they have all kinds of things, and I wanted to get them on the show today. They said no media on these kids.
Hmm.
No media.
How about that?
Yeah, they really want to keep them in the school. They want to keep them concentrating. I think it's every other day. But boy, the boy that we saw, I thought he was fabulous as Michael Banks.
Yeah, absolutely.
But as I said in my review in the State Journal today, the most exciting thing for me was watching the kids watch the show.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there were kids all over the theater, as there should have been, and they were just, I mean, glued to the stage, glued to the, you know, what's going to happen next kind of thing.
Yeah. And there's a little kid in all of us, and I think that show brought some of it out. But
yeah, yeah.
I want to talk to you about a couple of other things going on.
I just wanted to mention real quickly, they have two shows on Saturday, two on Sunday, a matinee on both days, and it goes until the 21st.
So the kids would split those. They would each do one show on the Saturday and the Sunday, right?
Exactly. So there's still time for people to see it. It goes until the 21st, and it's really something that should be seen.
Yeah. Well, it is a tremendous enterprise to bring that show in here and set it up.
Just, it took a week and a half just to set it up.
Yeah, I can imagine. What else do we have going on in town this weekend, Ken?
Well, you know, always a lot of stuff. And I wanted to first tell you about the MSU Symphony Orchestra, which is performing on Saturday. Now, they would have been performing at the Wharton Center. But Mary Poppins is taking up space there. So they are at the St. Thomas Church on Abbott Road, not Abbott Road, on off of Saginaw there.
Mm-hmm.
They are doing a wonderful concert with Dvorak and Schumann, cello concerto with Siren Bagratuni, the cello professor at Michigan State in Brahms' Fourth Symphony. And this, I wanted to talk about this a little bit because it is one of the reasons why we need more than one concert hall in this town.
Right. When one of them is occupied, it's kind of like an auxiliary gym, right?
Well, I mean, this is the place where the whole music school performs. And so when they take up space for 3 weeks, actually four, because of the load-up period, then all of these ensembles have to find another place to play. But in addition to that, there are four plays going on. View from the Bridge by Arthur Miller mm-hmm. is continuing at LCC, got very good reviews. A new play is starting at MSU, the Arena Stage, tonight, and that is Music History. And it's about a black couple who meet during the Civil Rights Movement in the 60s. And it's written by a local person. And it's supposed to be very good. They've got talkback sessions. They're really making a thing of it. So Music History at the MSU Arena Stage, which is in the basement of the Concert Auditorium, the old MSU Auditorium,
okay.
which is a lovely, intimate stage down there.
Mm-hmm.
As You Like It is a nice comedy, a Shakespeare comedy, which is going to be at the Passant Theater.
mm-hmm. Right.
Almost made it. the Passant Theater, being produced by MSU Theater Department,
okay.
opens up on the 16th. And Greater Tuna, this wacky comedy, is going to be at Williamson. It's actually there now on preview performances, and the real opening night is next week.
Next week. I've got to figure a way to see that, and I don't know how I'm going to do it. You told me I have to see that, right?
Well, it's a real funny, goofy kind of thing. I think, you know, you're sort of a goofy guy, they tell me, and I think you'd like it.
Yeah, absolutely.
One other thing, the 10-pound fiddle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are really, Lansing area is a real folk capital over here. And the 10-pound fiddle is one of the big venues for that. And a fiddler is coming in by the name of Matt Brown and the Old Sledge. The Old Sledge. I wonder what that really means.
Hmm.
But they're going to be at the Universalist Unitarian Church by the East Lansing Library, and that's tomorrow night.
All right. And next week, of course, a week from tomorrow, we have Silver Bells in the City, and there are all sorts of things going on that night after the parade and after the lighting of the Capitol tree. And they usually have a radio play over at Dart Auditorium.
Hmm.
I don't know what that is this year, but they have had some tremendous shows over there. Jason Colthorpe has been involved in a couple of them. And,
he's quite the personality, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly. So that will be fun, too, and we'll talk more about that next week.
Well, and it really begins the whole concert, the Christmas concert season, which is huge. And this year, more than ever, there's concerts going on all over the place. And we should really spend some extra time talking about what we can expect in the month of December.
We'll try to do that next week. Ken Glickman, Area Arts and Entertainment Contributor, and he'll be back with us Monday afternoon for our Get a Job segment.